the road must have a code that you can live by.
All right, welcome back to it, my friends. It's the Steve Gruber Show, and if you are to believe all the chatter about global warming, then by God, it's all coming to an end, which is surprising considering here in northern Michigan, it's clean, it's green, it's wonderful. You know, the temperature has been over 90 degrees like 3 days out of the last five, which around here, we don't call that global warming. We actually call that summer. Okay, just so we're clear, so you don't panic. I just want to call that summer. And I will tell you, in the 1970s, when I grew up in Michigan, we had a lot more days in the 90s. And you go to the National Weather Service and look up the statistics from the 1970s, you will find that the days in the 90s and humidity over 90% were far more prevalent during the 1970s and early 1980s. I know I've looked, and my memory served me correctly. And we didn't have air conditioning back then, so suck it up, Buttercup. The world's not about to end. But if you listen to, you know, to Sigourney Weaver or James Cameron and a whole host of other Hollywood folks and the people on the left and Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton, you'd think that the sky was going to fall today. It's not. I'm here to tell you. My next guest, Professor Tom Harris, Executive Director of the International Climate Science Coalition. And even though you're no longer a professor in practice, sir, I like the title. So, Professor, welcome to the program.
Yeah. Hi, Steve.
So, I'm concerned about this continuing narrative that 10 of the hottest years have occurred in the last 12 years, which is bunk. I mean, I know that 36, 37, and 34, 1936, 37, and 1934 were three of the hottest years ever recorded. Now, they've gone back and they've changed the numbers to try to make it look as if it's getting hotter. Let's see here. Florida hasn't had a Class 3 hurricane, a Category 3 hurricane, in more than, 11 years now. The highest number of tornadoes in America occurred in 1973. We've come nowhere near that. In fact, the last 3 or 4 years have been very quiet concerning tornadoes. Around the world, we don't have bigger, stronger storms, but they keep telling us that we do. The proof just isn't there, Professor. Help me, please.
Yeah, well, one of the things is it's observation bias, because if you had a tornado in Oklahoma in 1850, there's a good chance that nobody would have seen it because the population was so sparse. But there's far more people now, and they have cell phones so they can take little videos and send it into CNN. So what you end up with is the tornadoes, for example, is very interesting. The medium and strong tornadoes are actually going down, while the weak ones are going up. Well, that's not too surprising, because the weak ones wouldn't have been observed 100 years ago. It's now we only see the weak ones because there's a lot more people. And the reason there's
and
more
we have a thing called, hold on, we have a thing called Doppler radar that shows it to us. Even if we don't see them visually, the National Weather Service will confirm that there's been a zero tornado or a number one tornado, right?
Yeah. And not only that, the insurance companies are saying, oh, but the claims for extreme weather are really going through the roof. Well, you know, that's not too surprising. There's a lot more infrastructure. In the last 100 years around the world, the infrastructure has increased by 13-fold. So in a case where you might have one hotel on the beach in Florida, we now have 13. So on the rare occasion that a hurricane does hit, you're going to have a lot more damage. And, of course, they have a vested interest in trying to scare people, because then more people will buy insurance and they'll be happy to pay the higher rates. So,
exactly.
You know, but if you actually look at the data, and if you go to the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration website, the NOAA.gov website, you can actually look up and see when were the state records set for every one of the 50 states, in things like highest temperature, lowest temperature, largest hailstone, most snow. And what you find is that in 2015, there were no records set at all. In 2014, there was one. In 2013, there was one. 2012, one. You have to go back to 2011 before you start to see what would be normal. If, in fact, over the 130-year record, there was no increase in extreme weather or no reduction, you would expect on average that there would be three state records set every year. But in fact, that data set shows you that extreme weather is actually reducing.
So how do, you know, and that's the thing. So how do they come out in already this year, the first half of 2016 is the hottest on record?
Yeah.
According to who?
But, you know, a lot of this is like saying that Hillary has a 1% lead in the polls. but the margin of error is plus or minus 5%. You know, I mean, it's really silly. 2014 set the record by 0.07 one-hundredths of a degree. But the uncertainty is something like 14 one-hundredths. In other words, it set the record by less than the uncertainty. And even last year, you know, which was headlines all over the world, the hottest year on record, it set the record by 1/4 of a degree. I mean, it's hilarious because, you know, Richard Lindzen, who's a meteorologist at MIT, one of the leaders in the world, he said it's like a hypochondriac measuring their body temperature to a tenth of a degree and then rushing to the doctor because it's gone up 0.2 degrees. You know, I mean, these kinds of changes are trivial in comparison with what nature has done. I mean, there was a time when your area and mine was covered by a mile of ice. Now that's real.
Well, you know, in fact, I think let me stop you right there, Professor, because here is one of the things that I share on a regular basis, because I think it's important to explain to folks that some of the great things that have occurred because of global warming, I like to call them Lake Superior, Lake Michigan, Lake Huron, Lake Erie, and Lake Ontario. The Great Lakes are five of the greatest things on Earth created by what? Global warming.
Yeah,
isn't
exactly.
It great?
Yeah. And some people, they say, oh, my goodness, but sea level is rising. Well, did you know that 8,000 years ago, when there was a lot more ice to melt, the sea level was rising more than 10 times faster than it is today? Over the last century, it's been rising at about 7 inches per century. I mean, these numbers, yeah, the temperature numbers, the extreme weather numbers, the sea level rise numbers, none of the real numbers actually back up the climate scare at all. You know,
and so
you say, well, what's the climate scare based on? It's based on one thing, and that is the theoretical forecast of computer models of what may someday happen. Now, that's a pretty far-fetched stretch. I mean, we can hardly forecast next week's weather, and yet we're going to use models to forecast climate in the year 2050. I mean, it really is pretty silly.
Yeah, no chance whatsoever. In fact, I would suggest that a college class should take 10-day forecast from, you know, 10 different sources. Take the 10-day forecast, pick day 10 from 10 days out, day 10, and then chart what actually happens. And go from, you know, 10 different sources and chart day 10 on accuracy. And their accuracy on day 10, I think, would be 10% if they were lucky. And I believe that.
Yeah.
And, you know, the University of Michigan, here, I'll share a quick story with you and the listeners. The University of Michigan found at the bottom of Lake Huron, under about 300 feet of water, caribou hunting camps intact, in pristine condition, at the bottom of Lake Huron that are 9,000 years old.
Yeah.
They found an isthmus, and they said, here are these hunting camps that are pristine condition. Why are they pristine? Because the water rose so slowly over such a long period of time, they just left the camps, it became wet, and then it became unusable, and then now it's under 250 feet of water. The fact of the matter is, since the end of the last ice age, somewhere between 10 and 12,000 years ago, yeah, the lakes have been rising. 12,000 years ago, I'd been sitting under, what, half a mile of ice here in northern Michigan. These are all created by global warming, and there were no Republicans or conservatives or industrialists or capitalists to blame then.
That's right. In fact, natural climate change is so significant and so unknown that we can't really forecast natural change. In fact, we can't even tease the human signal out of the overall change. So, you know, these kinds of confident forecasts that are leading to a restructuring of America's energy supply, you know, you are the Saudi Arabia of coal. Coal provides more than half of Michigan's electricity, and that's because it's the cheapest form of power. But Obama is putting on so many regulations that he's driving your cheapest form of electricity out of business. And this
That's right. We're closing 25 plants between now and 2020. We just talked about it a moment ago here in the program. Between now and 2020, another 20, and we've already closed, 10 or 12, another 25 will be shuttered that are perfectly functional, perfectly good coal-fired plants with no real plan to replace them at this point. We're working on it, and we're going to use some natural gas plants and some other things, but we're not there yet.
Yeah, but it doesn't really make sense to use natural gas because natural gas is a very special fuel. It's good for home heating. It's good for cooking. It's good for all kinds of pharmaceuticals and industrial processes. It's even good for driving cars if you have the right kind of vehicle. And so we should save natural gas for its applications that it's special. Coal is ideal for stationary power plants to generate electricity. So using natural gas for power generation, it's like a reverse Midas touch. It's like turning gold into lead, okay? The U.S. has so much coal at dirt, you know, rock bottom prices, that if you use proper pollution control, it's the ideal energy source. And especially in places like Montana, who, because they're using coal, because they sit on it, they have among the lowest electricity rates in the country. If you look at California, who have virtually no coal, they have, I think they're the third highest electricity rates in the nation.
And yet we drive Peabody out of business, and you know, it's just a terrible. I'd like to have you back someday soon, Professor. Tom Harris, Executive Director of the International Climate Science Coalition. I'd talk more, my friend, but that's all I've got.
Okay.
Professor Tom Harris, everybody. This has been the Steve Gruber Show. Thanks for stopping in. SteveGruber.com, 888-900-9966.